Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Defend Your Movie with a crossover with
Stand By Your Band.
Woo! Call you and mid-sip.
That's right. That's
Don't
right.
worry, we stopped last week's episode for a cookie break, so you're right at home, Tom.
No, there's no time for cookie breaks. We're in a rush. I am Tom Takara, the Wolf of Dog Street.
And I'm Tommy Ooh. McNamara, the Dog of Wolf Street.
Wow. Oh, they got nicknames.
They got nicknames. We just came up with an audience name. Do you guys have an audience name? We call them the Defenders.
The Defenders. I actually forgot we haven't said in a while. Ours are Piss Freaks.
Piss Freaks.
Yeah.
Because there's a running joke that is not true, that I'm a big piss fetish guy.
Is that how it started?
Yeah, hey, I heard.
Well, you know, rumors don't just start.
Yes, they do.
It had to come from somewhere.
Well, you know the saying, all rumors aren't true. So. You know that old adage.
I'm not saying that Tommy loves piss. He just must like it a little bit for it to be true.
I'm not saying like dossier type love.
I didn't think we'd get into it this quickly.
Yeah, it's true. That's Sean Donnelly. I'm Andy Fiore. We're here with the Stand By Your Band guys, Tommy McNamara and Tom Takara. And we got a two-on-two battle today.
We have a two-on-two battle, and I really can't wait because I don't know what the fuck you're thinking.
Realize that this is what we were doing. I've been entered into a battle that I do support,
remember. What did you think it was?
I thought we were just going to discuss these two movies, these fine classics.
That's essentially what
one
it is.
One clearly
better than the other, that being That Thing You Do.
See, yeah. So Tom thought we would have a passive-aggressive battle.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know how...
Just talk, you know? Just chit chat. What were you gonna say?
Well, you know how, like in the Super Bowl, the two teams meet at midfield and just kind of talk about who's better, and then they don't actually play. Yeah.
They text each other.
How's your wife? Good. Yeah, okay. All right. Have a good game.
Let's not even play the game. No, I think that because you know what it was. I because a lot of times this happens on our show, and I feel like it probably happens on yours too because it's a very similar concept where people will come on. And they'll be like, and you guys have to kind of not shit on them for liking a certain band.
Yes.
But they're technically like defending the band. So you kind of have to be like, well, there's probably certain bands that you're like, well, I do like that band.
Yeah. Yeah. We run into that a lot.
Into it where we're like, we do like the movies, and then we have to take one side. But some of them work out. Like this one is actually one where I like both movies, but one of them I do think is a clearly better movie.
Agreed.
Do you know what I mean? And we're taking me and Andy are taking Almost Famous.
Of course.
Right. And Tom and Tommy are taking
That Thing You Do.
I absolutely love.
Featuring the O'Neaters.
let's be honest. It's a glorified Tom Hanks side
Tom
project.
Tom Hanks directorial debut.
It's direction side project. Yeah, it's the first movie I ever directed.
Debut?
He knew it wasn't going to be a juggernaut. Let's be honest.
A juggernaut?
You guys only picked Almost Famous because you're trying to get on WTF with Marc Maron. You know he's in it.
Lock the gates!
It's a transparent play. Where you guys both do WTF.
Hey, I listen to the first 10 minutes of that show every week, okay?
Hey, little known fact about me. I've already done it.
Is that true? I fast forward through that part of the movie only.
Let me ask you, why would you... Because I love the two that we're doing these two. Why would you... What do you think about That You Think You Do that you love? Do you guys both love it?
I really love it. Yeah.
I really love it as well. One of my first favorite movies of all time. Killer soundtrack. One of the greatest
soundtracks.
It's their songs.
Is it all
Yeah,
them?
You're also... You're going up against rock gods. Oh. Like classics.
Which and classics? They're no
Fever
wonders.
Dog? Fuck out of here.
Almost Famous is one of the only movies... The only of two movies that... Led Zeppelin personally gave the rights to.
It was Paddington 2, and it was...
No, that Fast Times.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Monsters, Inc. And also, the original music in Almost Famous is written by one half of the band Heart, which is fucking badass.
Yeah, Nancy Wilson, Cameron Crowe's husband, wife.
Wife, yeah.
Sounds like Broken Heart to me.
Not 80s Heart, 70s Heart. So that's what I'm wondering. Who created the music? Like the Wonders?
Jimmy and Guy.
Oh, no, so it's a documentary now.
Yeah, you idiots are talking about a fake band.
No, because I'm wondering if it was like Tom Hanks writing the songs with them.
I can't imagine that's right. Do you know Tom?
I don't know, but yeah, we should look it up.
Yeah, we could look that up.
What's his name? Oh, the guy who's the main guy. He's the drummer. He's supposed to be a cool drummer.
Oh, Guy.
Guy.
That's his name,
but
right?
in real life, because he had like a he was like big for like 5 years because he did American Werewolf in Paris.
Yes.
Yeah, I know him.
Whatever his name is. I can almost guarantee you that he plays the drums.
That he actually was playing it
because
in
he had that thing to it.
Well, he was a drummer
that
in La La
thing
La Land.
He did?
That's true. Yeah, it was. Yeah. What?
Boys.
It was good.
It's beyond. Thanks, Tommy.
I caught it.
What'd you say?
like, he almost had that thing, and I was like, fill it in. That thing he did. Yeah.
Not good on the revisit. Tom Everett Scott.
Tom Everett Scott.
Yes. Tom Everett Scott. Thank you.
So I've got some breaking news on who wrote the song That Thing You Do. The song was written by Adam Schlesinger, not related to Liza.
The Party Goblin?
But the bassist of a little group called Fountains of Wayne.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. What up, Jers?
You must feel stupid now. Everyone knows Fountains of Wayne is better than Heart.
I thought it was the guy who started Movie Phone. that's Andrew Jarecki. That's somebody different.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
You lost on that one. Okay, that's one
point. Well, I don't know about all that. Fountains of Wayne are arguably good.
Stacey's Mom.
No, they are good.
Oh, wait, I hate that song.
But she's got it going on.
You got a real toss-up, maybe not even so much of a toss-up in behind the camera. Hanks versus Cameron Crowe. You got to give Cameron Crowe on this one.
Yeah. Can I make a point?
Yes.
Tom Hanks never made a movie called We Bought a Zoo.
Not a bad movie.
But it does rhyme.
I like We Bought a Zoo.
It's great.
It does rhyme with That Thing You Do. So consider that. Have you thought about that?
That Thing You Do? We Bought a Zoo.
What else has Hanks done? What other Hanks?
He did like a documentary about space, about Apollo. I think he directed like one of the episodes.
Did he direct
that.
Apollo 13? No. That was Ron Howard, obviously.
He did the
prequel
Ron Howard.
Like an actual documentary about the Apollo missions. This is the thing about Hanks. Now, we kind of shit on him. Not a Hanks household.
Ooh, I didn't know that. Wow.
I do like him a lot. I just, when you put him up against certain things, that thing you do for Hanks, like Tom Hanks is like obsessed with like the 60s. Like he loves 60s nostalgia. He produced the CNN,
the
60s.
Oh, did he really?
Documentaries. Yeah, he did the Apollo mission one. He loves everything from that era, which I liked the fact, but like this just feels like more of that. That's why it feels like a smaller scale movie than Almost Famous.
It's definitely a smaller scale.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I just feel more emotional connection to it. I don't know.
Yeah. Because I think it's going to be more circumstances of when you watched it than like the
movie
itself.
This is a lot like our podcast, which is, this is our podcast.
Yeah. yeah, you're here.
That thing you do, like, yeah, we saw it when, I'm assuming you were, what, a child?
Oh, you're going to say there's a certain thing.
There's a nostalgic factor.
Me too,
that's sure,
all the time, yeah.
Where I saw this movie. I watched a bunch of clips from it today, and I was brought back. It taught me about romance. It's a great romantic comedy, I guess it would be that.
I think it would be categorized as that, but
almost,
it's more...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's more now we would look at it as a dramedy, I guess.
Yeah, but... Because it is kind of... It's very dramatic throughout.
Yes.
And I remember it felt tragic when I was a child, because you want them to succeed. And watching the clips as an adult, I'm like, oh yeah, of course this was never going to work out.
See, for me, you have like Liv Tyler in it.
I love Liv
Tyler.
Something
else about music.
You don't like Liv Tyler?
It just makes me think, I'm like, oh, this is like when she was in Empire Records, and then
dude,
it gives me like a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not saying it's bad. I actually enjoy watching it. And Steve Zahn, I love.
Steve Zahn's wonderful.
Steve Zahn's great.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he's great. But
he's
when it comes to Almost Famous, for me at least.
Cast.
Cast is unbelievable.
Oh, who's in it?
Billy Crudup, who's fucking. Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Kate Hudson, probably arguably. What,
no Liv Tyler.
Hands down, the best thing she's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Zooey Deschanel.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Francis McDormand.
McDormand.
It is an incredible
cast. Zooey Deschanel. William Fugit.
And it was
Mark Maron.
Is it the best thing Cameron Crowe's done?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Jerry Maguire's probably.
Jerry Maguire. Better than Almost Famous?
I don't know.
Wait, what? Who?
What's better? Almost Famous?
I think on revisit, you might change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
They're close though. I like both films.
But the point is, you're at peak Cameron Crowe because you're right. He's at like We Bought a Zoo time right now, and kind of out of the game a little bit. Back
then, We Bought a Zoo
was
not a bad movie.
I didn't see it. It got panned, Andy.
Just it's give, fine.
All
it's...
right, the premise alone, come on. The name, that's bad. But, what's, are we going to defend Hotel for Dogs next?
Yes.
But what I'm saying is you're at peak Cameron Crowe time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's that, 96? That's like...
Almost Famous?
Yeah.
No, 2000.
Oh, 2000, sorry. Yeah. But you're still peak Cameron Crowe. I'm a Cameron Crowe apologist.
Cameron Crowe?
Because I even liked Vanilla Sky, and nobody likes that.
I hate Vanilla Sky.
Did you hate it?
I hated it.
I love it.
Singles. I was too young. Singles also a great
movie. Oh, yeah,
movie.
Singles.
That's Cameron Crowe.
That's like
Singles nice. Doesn't hold... Singles is like a quintessential 90s... I think you have to be like 20 in the 90s to like Singles, even to this day. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, that's like... It's like when people used to watch like... Married people watch Mad About You. They'd be like, this is exactly our life. Like, things change in 20
Tom
years.
Tom and I do that too.
Yeah, we
watch old
know.
Mad About You.
You know what I mean? Like, that was like, people loved Mad About
yeah,
You.
I loved Mad About You.
Yeah.
Again, I was a romantic child. That's why this, that's why, a, that's I think why
I just like everything that rhymes. Mad About You. We bought a zoo. That thing you do.
I do think it's weird that when you first did our podcast, you talked about Counting Crows, and now you're talking about
Cameron
Crowe.
Oh, my God.
What do you do with the crow fetish?
I like hell anything yeah. involved with crows. I do. Those two crow cartoon feet. Crows from those old racist cartoons.
That guy who got murdered in a movie that he was filming.
A murder of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Murder of crows. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, anything with the word crow in it, I just love. I can't, you know, I can't get away from it. But no, when it comes to this stuff, I just think quality of film wise and if you really want to start arguing it, and as far as experience goes, like Tom Hanks, like he was in it and he's great in it, but even he even kind of phones it in the movie. Like,
yeah,
you're not even getting like top of the line Tom Hanks in this.
Look, we can argue about facts all day. Let's talk about feelings a little bit. All right, in the movie That Thing You Do, we are taught we see a love story develop between a drummer and a beautiful roadie. I guess what is Liv? She's the girlfriend
of the
lead.
Band. Yeah, yeah.
She's the girlfriend out. Of yeah, but yeah. She's the girlfriend of the, and she yeah. The monologue. I wasted 1,000 kisses on
how
you.
How many kisses?
How what's the love story in Almost Famous? A pedophile story? It feels like
deflower
it.
The boy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's taking
no,
advantage.
Like the
no,
same
it's
age.
A coming of
no,
age.
He's
that's
wait,
a crush.
Yes,
movie.
When he does lose his virginity, they are like the same age. He's 15.
But
when
then
he goes
isn't
off
she hooking up with the lead singer of that band?
Penny Lane is hooking up with.
Well, she's being human trafficked, basically.
Yes. They're taking her
on her own volition.
Sure, romantic. But is it the shame
sure,
love?
Played a on. Card game where there were women at stake. Fine.
Wait, are you me tooing Billy Crudup right now?
That's
who
right.
watches The Watchmen?
Yes.
Who watches The Watchmen? No, I think that she... No, I think she's supposed to be like 18. So that would make sense then.
Supposed
or,
to be.
Or no, maybe she's like 16.
I think yeah. she's like 16, yeah. I just watched... I actually just watched Almost Famous for the first time. In its complete, in the, you know, in...
To completion.
To completion, yeah. Yeah, I finally finished while watching Almost Famous. No, I just finally watched the whole thing, like, maybe 6 months ago or something like that. So I got to watch it with the fresh perspective, and I'm pretty sure she's young.
She's young in it,
creepy-ass
you're
creepy-ass
right.
relationship. And, you know, I don't support that sort of thing. And if that's what you guys are into, that's fine. But I'll stick with That Thing You Do, which is consensual.
But also corny as fuck.
Corny as fuck.
Well, those dudes, back in the day, they were, like, because I don't think we talked about this in the show because we never talked about Almost Famous, but, like, it's, like, insane what they were doing. Like, there's an article, I don't know if you remember this, remember when David Bowie died, there was a woman who wrote an article, but it wasn't her, like, calling him out. It was... A Me Too. It wasn't a Me Too article. It was she was like 13, and she was like a Penny Lane type, and she went to one of those hotels, and she had sex with David Bowie.
Yeah.
And he was like probably 20, late 20s by that point, whatever it was, or even 30. And she was 13 years old, and the article, the point of the article, she was like, I had no issues with it. I did not. He didn't. I get forced into it. I knew what I was doing. It's what I wanted to do.
What
like
year
it was just
was
a
this?
Different time? 70 something.
Oh, see, back then women's ages worked like dogs' ages, so it was different. It actually was different back then.
But I'm just saying it's interesting because now of what's going on, and then you had some back then. I'm like, Why didn't he get shit anyway for it? When that article came out, why didn't dead David Bowie...
He still should have gotten shit. Even if the lady's fine.
It's the Michael Jackson syndrome. You just kind of look the other way because he's Bowie.
Right! But still,
yeah, but that
right.
doesn't make it okay.
Nah, it's fine.
Posthumously, we should have fucking shit on David Bowie for that. But
here's the platform where we're doing it.
Yeah, this will get national coverage. So I think when it comes down to it, what are your feelings when you first watched Almost Famous?
Is there loved it because I'm a rock and roll guy. That's my music. I love it. I mean,
it looks like he's in the freaking movie.
Yeah, that's true. You could be in the movie.
Yeah, no, totally.
It could be in the movie. Sorry, that's a joke. That never mind. That's not worth going into.
It's like the great things about rock and roll and the debauchery and all that stuff you love and you, as a kid you did kind of fantasize about and thought that those guys were gods for all those reasons versus kind of the boy bands of the 60s. It's like the good guy, the haircuts,
yeah,
the clean cut.
So like, sure. So Almost Famous is following, let's say, like, I don't
it's
know,
following like 70s rock and
like
roll,
name
like
a band,
Allman
like
Brothers, maybe
Thin Lizzy, or like
Aerosmith.
Black Sabbath
at the time.
Wasn't it supposed to be kind of like
his yeah. first assignment was to go see Black Sabbath,
yeah,
and Stillwater was opening for Black Sabbath.
And your movie is following like Flock of Seagulls.
Like, no, not at all. That's a totally wrong
Beatles. Beatles than
that's a one hit wonder.
It's supposed to be like a shitty Beatles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
which I'm sure there were a million of in the
60s.
Yes. I know
time-wise, but Flock of Seagulls sounds funny, okay?
Actually, Flock of Seagulls is pretty good if you go back and
catalog.
So here's what I will say, though. The soundtrack to Almost Famous is definitely better, but I misunderstood the point. I think that the actual song, That Thing You Do, is much better than the song Fever Dog, which is pretty much the only song we hear Stillwater play.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair. That is absolutely fair.
I think
you
do is catchy.
Yeah. I meant,
I'll give
that's
that
what
one.
I meant, too, is that the bands, yeah.
Okay.
Compared,
no,
you don't get to cheat and use better music.
Like Led Zeppelin versus The Wonder? Come on.
The way that you're saying, so you're saying it was
no,
the
no,
dream.
Was...
No, the dream, that like the rocker thing. This was the dream for me. To be
oh,
a drummer.
Yeah, I mean, look at that blazer.
To be a drummer who makes the pretty lady fall in love, you know, and kiss her right for once in front of a bellhop who stares for too long.
What, at this point, was how old were you when this came out?
Oh, let me see what year
you
was.
Guys are substantially younger than me.
Let's
and Andy.
See. Shit.
Because I'm wondering if Liv Tyler, like, was it Aerosmith video crush level yet?
No, she was past that.
It was past that?
She'd already been in Armageddon and stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes. I believe, or it
was Armageddon
was
98, I know, off the top of my head for some reason.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's but she was in Empire
was
Records.
In all, yeah, the Aerosmith videos.
I think it was post Empire Records.
She was so, it's so crazy how popular she was. And then she was Lord of the Rings. She has a good career.
She has a good career.
Congrats, Liv.
Yeah.
We
Strangers. Strangers is a great movie.
Empire, I love that movie.
Yeah. 96 is what we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
Empire Records might be one of the corniest movies on the history of the planet.
But
so, like,
still watchable.
That, it kind of reminds me of that, like, that time when
that
came
era.
Out.
Yeah.
But not the same time period in the movie.
That
but you
was
know what
her.
I'm saying? Yeah. Well, how, when was it?
So 96. So I was about, you know, probably 8, 9.
Oh, see, that's why.
Yeah,
I was 18.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have the connection, but I did like the movie. I do like it.
Yeah.
And you know what? You mostly like it. I think you like it because of Tom. I like it because of Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is great. I was like, I remember being disappointed as a child that Tom Hanks wasn't in the band because that's what I thought it was going to be. And I loved Tom Hanks as a kid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I loved You've Got Mail. I think that might have been after this, though.
I think it was, yeah.
But everything he had done, you know?
You've Got Mail was so funny because You've Got Mail actually came out when AOL Mail was already kind of done. I think it was like on its way out.
Oh, that was
really?
The year
the
I got
movie,
AOL.
It's basically a commercial for AOL.
Yes.
Really? 98?
That was the year I remember I got AOL because like
wow,
they had they used to have
99.
Those
Holy
they used
shit.
To have those discs. Like we didn't
have
1,000
hours.
And I was like so excited. The movie totally worked on me as a commercial. I still have an AOL account because of that.
I moved to Seattle.
Tom's like, if I get an AOL, I get to fuck this older lady? That's crazy.
That's how Mellencamp got her.
But when it comes to, see, that's the thing, like, and like you said, on your show, normally with the bands, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens all the time with movies.
Yeah.
Because people will go, you go, this movie sucks. They'll go, listen, I saw it with my buddies. We're at this place. We're at the mall. We did this. Mm-hmm. I made out with a girl afterwards. It was like, it's like, it's the thing around the movie
that
really
yeah.
solidifies it more than the actual movie. And I can only imagine how music does that.
Oh
for sure.
Even more so.
It's a lot for music. But a lot of times, because
I think a lot of the bands that people bring on are bands that we also grew up with for the most part. So we a lot of times will be like, yeah, I understand why you love Pink or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But when it comes to, see, Almost Famous, I'm trying to think of the reasons that I loved it.
It is autobiographical, too. I mean, I don't know how much. Like, I know Hanks, what you kind of alluded to, is more fond of that era is why he made the movies. Cameron Crowe actually lived this story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, he was a journalist. Like,
he was like a teenage journalist, mm-hmm. and I think he went on the road with like a bunch of bands, like Zeppelin, Allman Brothers. And I think I read somewhere that Dwayne Allman was the guy who jumped off the roof at a house party into the pool. Shit. Yeah, that's like an actual thing that he remembers from Dwayne Allman.
That's a real story. I'm a golden god. Isn't that the actual line?
I think so, yeah. It's like Dwayne, or at least they were bullshitting with
like. And also, with the hotel they go to in San Francisco, there was a real hotel that was just debauchery every day.
Yeah, it's like a rock and roll hotel.
Rock and roll hotel. Yeah, so there's a lot of like true shit in it. What do you have true wise? Well, you have Steve Zahn. You have that is Werewolf true.
It is actually true that Steve Zahn went to Disneyland. That is true.
Steve Zahn.
At some point in his life.
Let me ask you this. And this is a spoiler, but like at the end, when they like kind of, it's done, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Aren't because doesn't yeah Steve Zahn just like goes and gets married in that movie, like yeah. How disappointing is that?
Hey, back then that was he was living the American dream.
Yeah,
and a lot of people don't know that he also invested in Apple.
No, what?
Trying to make the movie more relevant
on the Blu-ray.
What was it with Hank? Him and Forrest Gump? They're both big Apple investors.
No, but I think where these both movies are similar is. Being time period
things. Time
like
period,
who nailed it more. I think the look of Almost Famous, I think because it was so, maybe also because it was part of a true story, things truer to me. Even though, but then that thing you do, like they nail it on everything, the scenery, the background, the scenery, everything.
When, like the TV store is
dude, the part where they play the song on the radio for the first time.
So that's literally one of my favorite moments in any movie. It's like pure unbridled joy on screen.
It's so good.
Yeah, that's just another category we can do, which we do on this one. Iconic scenes. Yeah. You've done that before?
Oh, there's a few. Okay.
Well, Almost Famous, you gotta
lock the gates?
No.
Wow, I just shit my pants.
What if they put on like you know when AFI puts out like the top 100 movie quotes of all time? Like number 3 was lock the gates.
No, Tiny Dancer on the bus.
Yeah, Tiny Dancer.
That's a music scene right there, baby.
But again, a song that was already good without this film. We don't need this film to make that song good.
Very true, but didn't it help?
Yeah, well, when you're talking iconic, I mean.
Didn't help it, but it makes you like get more excited about it when you hear it, I think.
Are we each going to pick one? Is that how this works?
No, I'm just saying, if you go up
against the dartboard.
The scene where Jimmy quits the band. I quit.
I can't snap, or I would be. I'd be snapping also.
That's a corny scene.
Oh, it's great.
No.
Oh, my God.
I was just talking about
he's engaged.
That's
talking about that one scene when you said that they heard on the radio. That's probably the only scene that I'm like, oh, that's the best scene of the movie.
That's a great scene. I'm trying to think of a couple. I just watched a couple. I mean, the kiss between Guy and Liv Tyler's character at the end, it's weird how long it is. It's like a 2-minute long scene where they're just kissing and then go back to kissing. It's like a real kiss scene. You know it's weird.
You know what? There must be a thing on movie sets about kisses. Because it's funny you say that, because I was just watching, and I mentioned it last week. Technically, we just taped it. But Love Actually, right?
Yeah.
And it's a great movie. It's a really great movie. I think I'm comfortable now saying that.
Yeah.
I think it's a really funny, good Christmas movie.
A lot of people's
movie.
Favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, we were just talking about what's the favorite Christmas movie. But anyway, there's this scene at the end where he goes, I guess he goes to, is it Spain or Portugal, where he goes back, where Colin Firth.
Yeah,
where does he go? Like Greece or something, whatever he goes to. And he meets up with the girl that he's into, and he just decides on a whim. Like, he's going to go to his family's house, he walks in, and he's like, nah, I got to do what I got to do. And he walks out, which is a really great, another iconic thing.
Yeah.
But goes, and they kiss at the end. But it's not only long, it's weird. Like, he grabs her head weird, and they're kissing. Like, he's kissing the top of her mouth at one point. Like, I don't know. I think there must be a thing where the actors, if they don't have real chemistry when kissing, it comes through. Because you're just focused on them kissing.
I don't know. I don't remember that scene. Can you show it to me on Tommy?
He's like, yes, I'd like to marry you. That would be nice.
Is it Borat?
Yes. It's a Borat. It's actually a Borat prequel. I don't know if you know that. Love Actually. But I think it might be a thing. Like, you hear about sex scenes and you hear about, you know.
Yeah.
So they must have, and you have the egos involved there.
Of
so
course.
If that girl's like, I don't want to fucking kiss this guy, and then yeah. she has to, it comes through. Like, you know, when you watch two people. Yeah. Like, when I watch my neighbors kiss, they kiss great. But if you see two people kissing and they're like, they have good chemistry, you're like, oh, yeah, you can see it naturally, yes, you know, yeah. whatever. So, yeah. like, all the porno I watch, they have tons of chemistry.
We got to put these people on the big screen.
It could be movie stars with this kissing. So I think when it comes to, I'm not saying multiple iconic scenes, but I think if you match up, listening to the band on the radio, Tiny Dancer.
Come on.
Tiny Dancer's a more famous scene. Almost Famous. What about Rotten Tomatoes? Match them up.
Oh, well, that's irrelevant. We're not going to that.
Well,
that
we don't sing the praises of Rotten Tomatoes. We have an issue with it.
Yeah, we're not going to that rag.
While we're looking,
Tommy
it up,
has
yeah.
another scene.
Oh yeah, there's another scene with the scene where they actually get signed. I always love because Steve Zahn has a line where he goes, "This man in a very nice trailer is asking us to sign a contract. I'm signing. You're signing. We're all signing." In a very nice trailer. Such a funny line.
Steve Zahn is phenomenal.
Oh, he's
in
the
that
best.
Film.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of the. That's what I'm saying. If you didn't have him in it, you kind of need.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't even remember his name, but I love him. I just call him Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was the first time I'd heard that as a name, and I thought it was like a joke. And our most recent guest, ooh, Guy.
Guy Montgomery. Yeah.
What I would like to do also on top of the Rotten Tomatoes thing, if we must, is I want to hear, is it possible for us to hear the two songs? Like, just a sample of them?
We can probably
just do it.
While you look those up, I'll go box office draw. Budget on that thing you do is $26 million, which seems high.
That does seem kind of high.
And drew in $34.5 million.
Hey,
I know
win.
Almost Famous was kind of a disappointment.
Yeah.
I don't think that
this is a measure of a good movie, you know.
Box office made, Almost Famous made $47.4 million. I feel like the budget was way more, though.
Yeah.
Where it was like, it only became critically acclaimed after.
And it was 2000? Wait, it was 2000?
It was 2000.
Okay.
Let's do that as the last thing we do because, Tommy, we're going to wrap up soon anyway.
Oh, yeah. Budget was $60
million. Damn. All right. You know what?
I'm going to play
it. Not mattering is wrong. It does matter.
I'm just going to play my phone, okay, Alex? I guess that works, right? Now, first off, we're going to, because we already know, we actually agree with you on this.
I just want the listeners
you
to be
want
brought
the,
in.
You want a music
this is
part
what we
of
do
this.
Anyways.
You
yeah,
want a music
yeah.
part of this, yeah. So, this is Fever Dog. This is played by Stillwater from the Almost Famous soundtrack. Okay. This should work.
No, this is
John Bonham.
Hold on. This is when the levee breaks. Oh. Unless it's on placing. Oh.
Same beginning.
Yeah, they really
indulgent.
Really,
that's
one of my favorite Zeppelin songs.
Yeah,
so.
That's a let's sit in this intro.
I'm into it.
Yeah, our points are going down, down, down.
No way, man.
It's gonna keep going down.
You
with
like
the
this?
Lyrics.
It's pretty much when the levee breaks.
I'll tell you, it's authentic at least.
Down.
That reminds me of I'm Going Hungry when Pearl Jam teamed up.
Temple
with
of the Dog.
Temple
yeah.
of the Dog. Because even that had kind of a whiny thing too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm going hungry.
I don't mind.
Oh yeah. No,
I do.
Write a song that sounds exactly like Led Zeppelin and just do that.
I like in this.
Because
in
that was one of the bands Crow
yeah.
followed.
Should we try, before we get to that thing you do, should we do When the Levee Breaks and see if it's the beginning?
Oh,
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, let's compare.
But I love that line in Almost Famous when he goes like, when you said you like Fever Dog, that's the fucking buzz.
One of the lyrics to this is, got to spit it out the taste of the hair of the Fever Dog.
Oh, you want
to
do it? Yeah. Okay, cool. So it's on the top right there. I just chose it.
The taste of the hair?
The taste of the hair, the Fever Dog. So bad.
Is this dude eating a dog?
Yeah, I think he's
here
eating,
we go. Is that playing?
Eating a dog bite by
this
bite.
This is now that was Fever Dog. Oh shit. Hold on, turn it up if you can.
It's very simple.
It's the exact same song.
Wow.
Fever Dog.
And even just from this little bit, how much better is this song?
Yeah.
Even from this 2 seconds.
This may be my favorite Zeppelin song of all time.
Do me a favor. Now put it back on. We're going to do... Put it back
that
in.
Thing you do.
We're going to do that.
I want to give you guys a little bit of credit here. Suzanne Beth writes, a close contender for the best song in the world, definitely from the best soundtrack ever, and a pretty good movie.
Fever
too.
Dog?
She's saying that the sound...
The song
yeah,
is better than the movie.
The song is better than the movie.
Well, that's false.
hey, take now, it up now, with Suzanne
now, here
Beth.
We go. Here comes your... Your favorite thing in the world.
Oh, that's what we're saying?
Yeah, that's what this podcast is called. Defend your favorite thing in the world. That thing you do. Now let's hear the difference.
Hey, ready
and
for this?
This is where we'll
lose. Happy horse shit.
I hate you guys simultaneously bang the table.
You doing that thing you do, breaking my heart.
Perfect pop song.
So good.
See, here's the thing. Alright, let me listen to it for a second. Like, give it more time. Here's my thing about this. I'm gonna defend Fever Dog a little bit. Fever
yeah,
Dog
is a fucking rocker.
Fever Dog sounds more authentic than That Thing You Do does, but That Thing You Do is a better song.
I think
does that
makes
sense.
That makes okay. sense.
I get your yeah. point.
Fever Dog is like that could have been
sounds
that
like
could have been
song.
From yeah. a B-side from a 70s record. This is a manufactured pop song that like is using all the elements of a 60s
yeah.
late 50s pop song, but doesn't sound as authentic as.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like maybe because Fever Dog has the like because. It's just overproduced. Maybe it's a little bit overproduced. Mm. Fever Dog had a grittier kind of sound to it, whatever it was.
No, I think you're right. I think that does make sense.
But it is a better song. It's a way better song. You don't have to play it again. I think we got it.
Can you just play some of my stand-up before we get out?
Before we go, let's all do quick plugs so that Tom can get out of here.
Yeah.
When are you guys running this? Do you know?
What?
Do you want to open this
2 weeks.
This 2 weeks.
Friday.
2 weeks from now. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that... still makes sense
oh,
for this.
Oh, we should do our show.
Yeah, so we will be Stand By Your Band live
Sean's
featuring Sean
it.
Donnelly.
I'll be on it!
Will be January 13th at Union Hall.
Yeah, this will be on January 4th.
Okay.
Perfect. That's going to be a hell of a show. Nikki Glaser's guest judging. We've got nice. Melissa Villasenor, Martin Urbano. Who else do we have on that bad boy? Shalewa Sharp,
mm-hmm.
Caitlin Palufo. It's going to be really fun. Come to that. Get tickets at Union Hall. It's $7 in advance. Great show. I will be at the Comedy Attic January 17th through the 19th. Come see that.
I'm wearing the sweatshirt of the
police. He is, yeah, yeah.
That's why I wore it.
Indiana, baby.
Yeah. Tom, me, we
yeah, yeah,
saying
just also go to my website, TommyMcNamara.com. I'm putting up some new videos. I just did a live Christmas music show, so I'm putting up some videos from that on there. Check those out.
Really funny.
Next week, I will be at Mohegan Sun Comics with Tom Papa, then headlining
Ooh.
City Steam the weekend after that. And then all Connecticut, all January. All
right.
The weekend after headlining
it's a white month.
Fairfield Comedy Club February 1st. Yeah,
yeah.
So, and AndyFiore.com and on social media and all that good stuff. And, of course, most importantly, the podcast. But, Shawnee?
I'm at ShawneeTime on Instagram and Twitter. And also, I will be at Atlantic City Comedy Club, I think, a week after this airs. So come there. It's fun. It's at the, I don't know, some of the casinos. Look it up on
Tropicana.
Tropicana.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Tropicana, yeah. And also, yeah, most importantly, subscribe, rate, and review for the podcast. Let us know what matchups you want us to do.
That's
we have a bunch of new stuff coming in the new year. So thank you so much, and thank you for doing this, guys.
Yeah, boys.
Yes. Hey,
so
thank you guys for doing guys. It.
Do you want to
stand by your band?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, rate and review on iTunes. And hey, get on that Patreon. We're going to put some new, we'll have some new episodes.
We got to
butt
you guys on individually, too.
Yeah,
we've only
sure.
had you and duos, and we've never had you at all. So we should
yeah.
do
oh,
it.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'll be at the live show, too, for sure.
Tweet us your thoughts about both these movies and soundtracks. I'm at Tom Takar, Tom A. Takar, Thakkar, by the way. I know it's a pain in the ass.
And I'm Tommy McNam, MCNAM. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Keep it crispy.